Well, thank you again for coming to my class and our last time of talking about reading in phonics. I wanted to start off with reading an excerpt from Ramona the Pest by Beverly Cleary, and she's actually an Oregon author. So it starts off with, Ramona went on with her singing and skipping. This was a great day, a great day, a great day, she sang, and to Ramona, who was feeling grown up in a dress instead of play clothes, this was a great day, the greatest day of her whole life. No longer would she have to sit on her tricycle watching Beezus and Henry Huggins and the rest of the boys and girls in the neighborhood go off to school. Today, she was going to school too. Today, she was going to learn to read and write and do all the things that would help her catch up with Beezus. And that's how our students feel when they come on the first day of school in first grade. They find it very exciting. I just had a little girl. She didn't know me, but she just exclaimed, I'm going to school. And she sounded excited. There's a sense of energy, and when you go into your new classroom, even if you haven't been there before, like maybe it could be new paint, paper, just something fresh about it. And if not, then that's your job as a teacher to make it that way. And many children have been waiting for this moment for years. Because I've had even three-year-olds say, one day when I go to school, they can be like their older brother or sibling. And so the agenda for the first day of school is to make everyone, parents, children alike, feel comfortable with this transition in life. Some are scared on their first day of school. I've even had some be sick with nerves, even though they are excited for school. And so be ready to greet your students and parents when they come that first day. Try not to be busy with still getting ready. And so in thinking of teaching this school year, one thought I had as I was thinking of my school year was I thought it would be nice to write a note every day for each of my students. But the more I thought about it, it's like, oh, that's going to take a little bit of time to do that. So the more thinking about it, it's like, well, maybe I could write one note and for all my students. And then I saw something and something I read, and they called it a morning message. And it talked about writing a note to your students, like, okay, I'm going to learn more about this. And so some of the ideas were theirs and some were my own. I just incorporated both of them, and I think that's what I'm going to do this year. So if I let you know about it, and you can do what fits best for your classroom if that's what you want to do. So this morning message is something you can write a note to your students, make it personal, and as they read the first thing they would come to in your classroom, they'll see this note on the chalkboard or on a big tablet. You can buy those big tablets, and you can just keep it, and that way you can keep it for the rest of the year. They will begin to, that builds their sight word reading it. You could start by reading it to your students, those that can't read. Your older ones, if you have those, they can read it to the younger ones even. And you can, it builds their language without even them realizing it. And the purpose is, and the motivation for reading the letter, the children want to find out what's going to happen that day, if that's what you include in your letter. So a morning message can enhance oral language skills as they read it. As I'm sure my students being excited to say, here's a note for them, see, let's find out what's happening today. Build phonemic and phonological awareness, provide opportunities to explore written words, and it helps them see you model the written language, how you write the words, sentences, spaces between words. Develop a purpose for reading, build a rich vocabulary, and there's different things you can include in these as you go on. You can start short, especially if you have just first graders, and you can build on that. You don't have to make a long epistle in this morning message thing. So some tips to write a morning message, like I said, at the beginning of the year, keep it short and language that they can understand. You wouldn't want to write, and to illustrate this, and use big words. As the year progresses, you can vary the language and leave blank spaces for the children to fill in. And one thing you can do is choose their sight words and use incorporate things from reading into that morning message. You can also spell words with dotted lines for them to trace over. And they get excited as they see words that they know. Oh, I know that word. I know that word. I can pick out this one. Be sure to include information that the children are anxious to know about. Like maybe if you're having a special day. I have a whole list of special days of every day of the school year that I've found. And some of them didn't fit my classroom. So for those days, I'm going to stick my own thing in there. Just one little special thing that doesn't take very long to include during the day. You can use, if you're using a whiteboard or even the big tablet or even on the chalkboard, you can use different colors, chalk, markers, whatever. And you can, each sentence, you could have a different color. Make it colorful. Make it something they want to look at. You can add drawings, stickers for visually appeal. Write each sentence different color. You can also use a rebus type. And I haven't done a lot of this, but I do find it interesting to figure out when you see those big long ones. I'll just do a simple one here if you don't know what rebus is. So what does that say?
I love you.
Very simple. Children figure that out really quickly. You can also have lists of things that they might find interesting throughout the day. You can have as part of their schedule. You can have recipes, poems, and other forms of writing, quotes in this morning message. If you read it to them, you could point to the words as you read it to them. You could have an older student read it to them, and later as they can do it, they like to be the teacher. So I let my students do that. You be the teacher. One thing you can do is masking. If some students, and we haven't talked much about students that might have dyslexia or any other learning problems, but some of those students might need things separated, like words separated. They only can see that word, so you can cut a hole in a piece of paper, just for something simple, and the size of how you would be writing, and just one word at a time, if you have students that need that. You could have them try to find things in your morning message, like, can you find a letter that is your name starts with? Can you find a period once they start learning about those things? What word begins with the same letter as your first name or your last name? Do you see a letter that makes the k sound? Then you can say any sound that you maybe might even be learning that day. Can you find a word that has five letters in it? Can you find a word that ends with the letter D or so on? Or even rhyming words. And I would tailor it to what you're learning in your reading, since we're talking about reading. You could also do it with the other subjects also. You could also do I spy with this one. Say, like, I spy with my little eye, a word that begins with the sound. And the children can take turns pointing to that as they find it. They can also use the fly swatter idea. And they can swat the words that they see. And later on in the year, you could also leave out things, like leave out punctuation, maybe missing letters, missing words, and so on. And, for example, if you're thinking this looks hard, I was just thinking very simple. Put the date and then put, dear children, welcome to school. Today is Monday. Sincerely, Sister Lisa. That would be very, very simple. I think I would make it a little bit more personal than that. But then that later on in the year, you can go, dear children, welcome to your classroom. Today is a beautiful day for our ocean unit that we're setting, whatever it may be. What is your favorite sea creature? Write its name below. Draw a picture. Sincerely, and then put your name. And I still have pictures from previous years that I've taken that they've drawn on the chalkboard, and I use those to display throughout the year and different things. So that you can use this to help them in their reading as well, besides just the reading book. So another idea that I've done before, but this is a little different. They called it the daily news. I had them write in a little journal book. And so I still have that book and go back. So they might start with today was, it was sunny. We played kick the can. And sometimes they can get repetitious with that if you don't give them a little help. So they called this the daily news. And at the end of the day, I'll conclude school by asking them to summarize the news on chart paper. So, and you can use this to let them do it, just like I did with the journal. The older students, I'll have them write what they come up with, but with the younger ones, I'll write what they say until they can do it on their own. And you can use this to recall the happenings of school later on, like if you would have in your school a yearbook. And a lot of the times we would have a remember when. And if I don't keep track, it's like, okay, I don't remember all those things that they want for this. And so that's a good thing to keep track of all the things that happened that year. And you can look back on it later also. And also then writing the daily news before dismissal lets the children be able to go home and it's fresh in their minds then of what they did when the parents asked them, well, so what'd you do today? And instead of saying, I don't know, they probably, since it's fresh in their minds, have something to tell them. So I thought there was a few things I thought that were key to keeping the attention of your students during reading class and keeping them engaged in the lesson. So the first thing I thought of was be prepared. This can get difficult as school goes on. Maybe you had something going on the night before church on Wednesday night and you didn't have as much time as you needed to prepare, but be prepared as much as you can. It helps keep them, you know, make the most of the lesson. And if you don't prepare properly, maybe you don't know what's coming next, you don't have all the materials you need for that lesson, and you need to go running to go get this or that, and it just takes up way more time, and the students are sitting there waiting for you, and it's not a very efficient way for children to learn. The second one was keep phonics lessons short and sweet, especially at the beginning of the year. They're not eighth graders that can stand a half an hour lesson or however long. I've heard some are hours, hour long. This will keep the students' attention and maybe you for even and both of you from getting bogged down with too much information at a time for them. We want them to be lifelong readers, and that means they need to enjoy it. So if they get, when is she going to stop talking? You know, that glazed look that comes over their eyes. Our goal is not just to give them knowledge, but to make it automatic and recall. Reading letter sounds, it shouldn't be a conscious effort. Like, what does that sound? It should come be as effortless as thinking of their name. They don't have to think of that. They know that. So I usually have reading time in the morning, first thing. And then maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then give them something to do on their own. And then in the afternoon, we do reading again. We don't just do reading all in the morning. They get tired of it. They want something else to do. And I'll usually save the fun activities for in the afternoon. And also, most of those things that they can do on their own, I will save it for those times when I need to teach other classes, other grades. And number three, be consistent. There's a lot of ground to cover in first grade, and consistency is key. And children thrive when they know what is expected of them. They know what time to expect reading. They know we do this. Some children are very particular. I've had nephews that this is the way we drive to therapy. It's, you're going the wrong way. Grandma takes us this way. I'm like, how do they know? They're only 3 and 4. But children, that routine is key for some. And also, keep learning fun. If you have an enthusiasm for it, that will show enthusiasm to your students, and they will have enthusiasm. It should be a positive experience learning to read, because that is one of the most important skills that you could give them. And it's not just for first grade, it's throughout their life. Because when students don't learn to read well, it shows up when they're adults and they have to give a topic, and they're just laboriously poring over the scripture passage. It's a struggle to listen to for you, not just, and for them also. I'm sure they don't like to have a topic when it's their turn. So to keep them engaged also, you can incorporate the things we talked about yesterday and games. But we also need to remember that, well, work is a fact of life. As adults, we don't always have a choice about work. Children need to be taught that not everything in life is fun. And if they want to see results, they need to put in some work. And so that they don't grow into adults that are hard, literally just hard to work with. I've worked with those type of people, and they were good at looking like they were busy. And then at the end of the day, we're like, okay, what did you get done? Well, I only got 5 to my 20. And when you're trying, you have a goal that you know, set amount you need to accomplish, it's like, okay, we didn't all help here. So if we want our students to be productive, we need to teach them that they need to, sometimes they just need to do it anyway, even if that's not something they like. And if they learn it that discipline when they were young, the easier it is. 5, minimize distractions. Don't try to teach a difficult concept when there's lots of distractions around, whether it's noise or something the other students are doing. Have an atmosphere that is quiet. I know you can't always have that quiet, but strive for that in your classroom. And keep interruptions at a minimum. Don't allow your students to interrupt you when you're having class. Now, some teachers, they know how to handle that maybe better than I do, but I don't have them interrupt me when I'm having class. If I'm having a reading with the first graders, the second, third graders, or fourth graders, they don't raise their hand and have questions. If sometimes I've had them write their name on the board so that I can look over there, okay, they had a question. And I always tell them, if you can't think of something out, figure something out while I'm having class, go and do the review of this lesson, or go do something else. So you're not just sitting there waiting for me to get done with class. Then they don't get their work done. Because if you have them interrupt you when you're having class, sometimes that class can go on and on and on. And so another thing you can also teach them to, especially for the younger grades, is they have to go to the bathroom. And I have learned you don't make them wait. You don't make them wait. Because sometimes they can't. Anyway, so I have them do a different signal. I have them go like this. This is a T in sign language. And when you shake it, it means you have to go for the bathroom. It's the bathroom. So I'll tell them to just go. At least that, and that way I know what they're going to do, and not just like, why are they going outside? And then I know where they're going. If it's one of your students that is not in the class, one of the students that is in that class and they want to tell you something, I tell them, I would love to hear your story, because you know how you say something and it reminds them of something that happened over the weekend, reminds you of something that happened last night, and they want to tell you. And sometimes it takes them a long time to tell you. And so I tell them, and we talk about this at the beginning of school, you can wait for me at lunchtime, and then at lunchtime, I will listen to your stories. And I'll be right off and honest, I've forgotten before. So it's what I do. I've gotten a habit. I have the sticky note on my desk, and I write their name on that sticky note, and maybe even a word that will help me remember if they had started talking about what they wanted to say. And at lunchtime, it's like, okay, you had a question. What was it? Or you had a story you wanted to tell me. And then I have them say it then. Also, challenge your students. Now, some children need to be challenged more than others. They want encouragement from you to put forth an effort. Few children are excited about doing hard work, but they do realize that they are capable, if given the proper instruction and motivation, that they can do it. You need to be firm, patient. That's a difficult one. Here I thought I hadn't taught for 3 years, but then, you know, it's like, I think my patience is getting better. And, you know, it's when you realize that you realize how far you still have to go. I had a child push me, and I'm like, I still have some more patience to learn. You can be persistent and encouraging. Don't forget the encouraging. And you'll be surprised how much they want to please you. But on the other hand, you want to also be sensitive to the child's pace of learning. You don't want to just push, push, push. You could be, although you be firm and patient and challenge the child, you should also be sensitive to their frustration level, if you will. I have observed over the years that when tears of frustration come, the learning ceases. And I don't know if I've totally figured out. I mean, you have to watch your students, learn their little tics, and to see how far you can challenge them to learn something. And just keep an eye out for that. You don't want frustration. Now, your schedule might look different than mine, and that's okay. There's not any one schedule that's the perfect. And if you have one, let me know. And I want your schedule. So, like I said, I have mine, the reading. The first graders will do reading, and I would have the second, third, or whatever other grades I would be having do their math. I usually have them start with math and do the review section first, not the new stuff. I wait that for math class. And then I would take time for first grade reading, and they're just them for that part. So, for example, I would be teaching CLE. And let's say we're doing the sound of S, which is the third lesson. So I would go over the objectives of what they're going to learn and look at what materials they might need for that lesson. So, and then I would, this is the day before that lesson, that is, and prepare whatever I need to prepare to get ready for that lesson. And different days look different. I might have more things physically that they can do versus maybe another day it might be papers that they do. But I try to mix it up to keep it, we did this yesterday and day before and we're tired of doing this type of thing. So I'd have everything all ready to go, like I kind of like I do here. I mean, I don't like just set it all out, but I have it ready so that I don't have to go running to the book room to get this or to get that. It's already there. We can go on with the lesson. And I do everything. I mean, hardly any would I skip in these lessons. There is a lot, but I've heard other curriculums have a lot more. And as you can see, the story is that long. It's not a long story, but it can get, oh, I'm going to read the story, you need to listen to me. Or you can make it fun. And I've changed up a few things, so I do have a few new things. And so for this year, when I do this lesson, I'm going to take these, well, I'll show you. So I'll read the story, Sun So Bright. Sarah and Steve sat up straight when Sunday school had started. Today I will tell you about something very special which God made, said Miss Suter. It is the fourth day. God said, let there be lights in the sky. Who can say what those lights were? Sun, moon, and stars, said several students at one time. And so on. Except for I'm going to laminate these and put them on a flannel graph. Did I have to buy anything? No. For my flannel graph, I didn't buy that either. I went to the thrift store and I got a picture frame, put felt over the inside part of it, stuck it back in the frame, and there's my flannel graph. And even like, you know, those expensive Bible story ones that you can buy, these I just found pictures and colored them, and I have my flannel graph. And you don't have to just do this for reading class. There are pictures I have had from previous years that go with the lesson. Seagull, starfish. You don't even have to color these if you want. I was running out of ink. Here's seaweed, sun, seal, sailboat, and submarine. And then even what this does is it expands the vocabulary. Some of them don't know what a submarine is even. And then that can lead to discussions of submarines. And I've also used it in other years for social studies. And just printed out pictures that I found that go with the topic that the lesson that we were studying. So it takes a little bit of prep work, and to get these to be on a flannel graph, you don't have to laminate them, but that just keeps it longer lasting. And then all you have to do is take some sandpaper, glue a couple little pieces on the back, and you have something that will stick to felt. You don't have to use flannel graph. Another idea is hand puppets. With the Debbie Duck, I have a little duck hand puppet, and the duck talks. You could do finger puppets. I have a couple of those. Children are always fascinated with new things that you incorporate into the lesson. So, to go on with the lesson, after the story, they have questions to answer, and to answer them, they circle the picture. Then they have writing. Now, it is important how the students form the letters, but not so important maybe this is just my opinion versus someone that's more learned than I am, whether they put the straight line down first and then the circle, or the circle and the straight line down. Now, I would say it's important to not start at the bottom of the page and go up, though, because that's not how we do. It's not proper as far as learning the sequencing of things. And also, like in CLE, they would tell you about Mr. Smiley. And I think here, this is Rebecca's paper, and they talk about Seabreeze Seal. There is a story. Let's talk about it and questions. They have letter shapes and sounds, a game, making a project. They have a song, and vocabulary and fun facts about that. So you can see how they're kind of similar in how they do their lesson. And here with the Mr. Smiley, they tell you to have the students say, hello, Mr. Smiley, but quickly say goodbye. I put this Mr. Smiley here to remind me, and sometimes I'll even write it in their books or have them do it, and how they go, hello, Mr. Smiley, and then go away. And if that still doesn't help, one thing that works really well is to have a box for them to write in, and you can do this on a chalkboard, a personal board, and if I do, I usually have that part ready to go for them. That way they can go back to their desk and practice even. And for the letter S, to start, go to the top, go to the bottom, and keep it in the box. Because sometimes children tend to just go really large with it. But I usually don't have them do that part. I do practice it and have them practice it then, but then we go on to something else. They don't do what's in the book here. And they have other things in the book to do, and they have the page where you're supposed to say the name of each picture, and they write the beginning sound. Then they have a whole page of blending. Especially this blending, that is important. Don't skip that. It helps them to blend, when it's their turn to blend words, that's the same thing as what the teacher did. I can read words. And then you have the flashcards. Don't forget to make use of your flashcards. These are the new ones. I thought these were so neat. I hadn't seen these ones before. And they even have, on the back, some children have lollipops and some have candy canes. And they have the picture in with the word. They're not those plain flashcards they used to have. And I also incorporate things that start with that letter. And like I said yesterday, the kitchen is a great place to find things. I found a few things. I found a spatula and a spoon. And some lovely socks. I can just imagine my students saying, wow, you know, exclaiming over these socks. I found some seeds. And this, you don't just have to show them seeds. You could probably do it for an art project on Friday if you wanted to. I've done where they take sponges and make a house out of it, sponge and a sponge and make a roof, and put seeds on it and water it, and your house grows. They love watching things grow. So if you just want to plant one in a pot, go ahead and plant one in a pot and not just say, here are seeds, they start with S. And then I have I think it's supposed to be for tools like nails and stuff, but this is my sister's. They all have their letters on it, and you pull out the letter, and I'll take this to school. Not very big, it will fit in your bag to take to school. Has some words like skate. These are on plastic. Sled, sack, and I had a sack somewhere, maybe just a tiny one. Not sure what it went to, but I have a stick, a spelling spelling list, and a strawberry. And sometimes if you can either like stick. Didn't pay anything for that. These things you can just have it just words that you might put on there. You can make those. Have a friend do. So have that. Also, you can, with the sun card, and I didn't, you know, the rhyme that's on those, and to memorize them, they tell you in the book, you can do motions with it. Sun so bright, shines all day to give us light. You know, like squinting at the sun, you could do that. I've always incorporated sign language into it, because we've been learning, my niece is, her hearing is not very well, and I was like, well, if it would ever go, we're all learning sign language so that she'll have a way to communicate. And so the letter S, we'll do the letter S. Sun so bright, this is sun, shines all day to give us light. You can do motions like that. You could take, I don't know what you call these, garage sale stickers, and just have a little thing like this. You can give each student and have letters, or you can write them on there beforehand and have them put the letters of sun with stickers. Children love stickers. You could do letter crafts. This is something I forgot yesterday. I have a whole thing of every letter of the alphabet. It's very simple craft that they can all do on their own, so that in the afternoon when I need to be doing something else, I'll have them cut this out, add the little tongue and eyes, and they're done. Now, some children, it takes longer than others, but it improves their cutting skills too, and their the fine motor skills that they need to write. So there's like that. There are ones that are a little bit more involved, like this one. Still has the letter A for ant, but they need to cut out the different legs and draw their face on, and then you have an ant. And I will set these maybe on the table up there so you can make copies of it. I have some on white paper, some are on colored, and all you have to do is copy it beforehand and have it ready for your students to do in the afternoon. Sight word books. There was one book I had seen at the thrift store, and I wish I would have picked it up. But you can get sight word tales, and I thought when I had got this, when it said some, because that was the word for that lesson, but it was come. So it's come to the Zany Zoo, and these are sight words in CLE. So once I get to these, have learned these, I'll read this story. Come to the Zany Zoo. Come see the polka dot kangaroo. And so on. Just a fun little book that they can find the sight words in. There is also 100 Write and Learn Sight Word. Here's the word, let's say, because, for example. They have a lot of sight words in here, probably not all the CLE ones, but not all of you are doing that. But say they would color it, they would trace it and write it. Write it here, connect the letters by coloring the letters of the word, write the word in a sentence, find it, and color it. And just all I have to do is make copies of this here. Now, I don't like to do 20 pages of copies and say, here, do all these. I would do maybe 2 at the most, just so some don't get bogged down with, I have so much to do. So do keep that in mind. You can also get other books. Here's one that's cooking up a story, and they have like the story of the three little bears. So they do have the story in there for you. They have a recipe, and one year I even did a cooking theme, and we made lots of recipes together to go along with that theme. Then those are all some recipes. They have body puppets, paper plate masks, and just different things for different stories. So if you want to look at that, that will be available. And you can also incorporate, here's something, I just got this at Dollar Tree. Okay, I just thought it was fun looking. You get 4 of them in a package, I believe, that's blank. You can have them write the letter and draw pictures, and you can write underneath it what that picture is. And then when you fill it all up, you'll have that to take home when you're done with it. It looks better than something I could have done. And you can make your own, too. And here's a beginning sort that they can do. They can find the letter. I'll just pick one. Here's the letter E. Oh, that one doesn't have it. Okay, here's the letter O, and on the inside is octopus. Or you can do it the other way around, you have them all out. Here's octopus, have them find what letter it belongs, which egg it belongs to, and put it in there. Just a fun little game. And you can also read other books, like it's kind of like that cooking up a story. I've read Brown Bear, Brown Bear. You all know what that story, Brown Bear, Brown Bear, What Do You See? And I'll read that story. And then tell my students, well, let's change it up. Think of a color that begins with S. And if they can't come up with one, I'll help them. Okay, let's think of the silver. So well, how about an animal? Let's think of an animal that starts with S. And I thought of seal. So, for example, the story might go then, silver seal, what do you see? And they can draw a picture of that animal. They can color it that color. And you can do that for all the letters of the alphabet. You can also make the letter out of duct tape or masking tape and put it on the floor, make a big one, and show them like walking along it. Even doing like follow the leader on it, depends how big you make it. And I also usually, I've had them do every letter of the alphabet with glue. Like you make the letter S with glue, let it dry, just on white paper. And once it's dry, then they can just color. They don't need to color pictures or anything complicated. Just like put a little bit of color here, put a little color there. And then where that glue is, it will not take the color, and so they have a nice picture with the S in it. And, oh, I was going to draw one of those, and I didn't. I'll just explain it, I guess. I would do it, make a simple drawing of anything. For example, a beach scene. Maybe put a sun, a seagull, a seal, if you're good at drawing. A shell, that'll be easy. Starfish, yeah, you can do whatever. It does not start with S. But just draw a scene, a simple scene, and it can be even done with a pen or pencil, because you're going to just make copies of them if you have a lot of students. And I would also hide maybe 10 letters that we're working on, the letter S. I would hide 10 letters in there and have them find it. They really enjoy that one. And also a word search. And I put a little one that I had done for the sight words do, some, and many. And I would do that after lesson four. It doesn't have, that one would just be very fairly simple, and they can usually find most of them. And other ways you can incorporate reading at school and not in reading class. You know, you have your story time, and this is going to be my theme, kind of, this year. And I found this book that I can read for story. And you can also think how you can use it for art projects and not just reading it for story. You can take books from other curriculums, and then you know that they're that grade level, and have stories for them to read or find the words in. And you can find books like this that you could read to them. I usually start, especially for story, I start with short books. Something you get done, like if you've heard of Christopher Church Mouse. Those are cute little stories to read, and usually take you just one story time. And then I graduate to the bigger books. And I've had ulterior motives for some of these books. For these two here, these are very nice stories. They like to look at the pictures. And we have used these for programs. I've written it out, condensed it a little bit, and then we've set it at a program. This one, it would have been like a group of not just my students, but some of the older ones as well. We just, like, I would have been in charge of a group, and the other teachers charged, and we did different things. I just did a story. The other ones would have done a song, and so on. And then you have something for a program, too. Because I know how hard it is to think, okay, what am I going to do for the program? And this is a new one I'd gotten. It's like, I was thinking program when I got it. You could also get these books. I got these at Dollar Tree, God's Little Zoo, and they teach health and forgiveness, kind and respectful, polite and brave, promise and sharing, and so on. You could also have these kind of books, Looking for Letters, and it's all done for you. They have the letters in there, and they try to find it. It's not something you need to draw out. So if you go looking, and something I found out, and I don't know how, our thrift stores are not as good as the ones here in Albany. And so whenever I come down here, I always try to stop by there. They have a lot of books, and that's where I found most of them. You could also do them like this. And if you have family night at your school, okay, I always have a hard time wondering, what do I do for family night? And so we might do the story of Ping. You can do other things. I've had, depends what age level they are. I'll read the story of Ping, and it's just a cute little story. But here, and this one I make copies of everything, so I'll put this on the table out there, that you can make a lap book. Have you ever heard of lap books? Okay, make a lap book, and now they have something to show at family night. And there's some, like, I think we did some French in Paris, and so one of them made even an Eiffel Tower.
And so this has just all kinds of things they can fill this lap book with. They color, they write, and there's easy ones that first graders can do into harder ones. And they even have maybe the same thing but made it easier for the younger ones, and then the harder ones would do, the older ones would do. And I also forgot this yesterday. This is another book that has a lot of ideas, recipe for reading, and also has some things for struggling readers. I didn't get a look at a lot of some of this, but they do even have for teaching the letters and sentences and kind of like, what do you call those, where all the letters start with the same letter, the alphabet, tongue twisters, kind of, in here. Oh, another thing with the lesson, I picked up the wrong folder, but this will give you the same idea. Over the years, I tried to make things easier for myself. I'm not always taking so much time after school grading the reading lesson or whatever lesson I'm doing. And so, well, I do have a couple first grade things here. First grade Bible. I make more questions for that. And I have them all in here. I even had, when other students had time and they had nothing else to do, it's like, could you write out my questions for me? And then they'll be ready for that day. I would have had them, some of the older ones even think of the questions, so I didn't have to do that. They've done a really good job, I would say. Okay, so this was the older grade, third grade. But here I have things that I need I can take this home instead of all the other books and know I need to review this and get this from home and take it to school the next day. I have here how many points are in each lesson so that I don't have to count them all up in the lesson. Okay, and sometimes I even write them in the teacher's book. Just makes it so much easier when you have that and you don't have to keep doing counting up every day. And so I have just like this. I'll even have things I might write on the board the next day. And this way it's all in together. Like here's all the points for third grade language. And CLE is an easy one to do that with. Abeka, that wouldn't be so easy because they change every other year how many they have. So you have to be doing it every other year. Also, you might have homework slips. Maybe you want the student to read 5 pages out of the reader or something like that, or read to somebody something. You can have a homework slip to send to have that. And I have mine where the parents sign it, and that way I know that they actually did that and not just took it home. And maybe they did it, maybe they didn't. Who knows? And another thing is some teachers want, quickly get through this, to skip these dot maps. And my first thought was like, okay, what's the point of dot maps? They do explain it in here. They do have a purpose. And there are some students that almost just cannot do it. But I've found that if you explain it, especially, they start out easy, but when they get to the difficult ones where they're missing the dots, it's almost just too much for some of them. And I found that if they can't figure it out, to tell them to count the dots. How many dots over is this line? How many dots down is this line? And that helps them tremendously do those dot maps. Thank you for your attention, and God bless you as you teach this year.